This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And joining us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, a guy who has been paying attention at training camp, a guy who always pays attention when it comes to the Browns and his golf game. He is Scott Petrak from the Chronicle Telegram. You can read all of his work at BrownsZone.com. Hello, Scott.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening, Scott?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Nothing you can do when these tests come back negative. You've got to, you know, you have to shut her down for a little bit and figure it out. I will say I thought that what the Vikings did was the way to go. And I think it kind of got swept under the rug. I didn't see it anywhere other than one blip, and nobody made any big deal out of it. Many teams canceled practice. The Vikings said, those players and people will not be at practice today. And I think as we move forward through football during the pandemic, that might be what has to happen. Hey, you tested positive. We're not shutting it down. You're out until you're okay. And then you're back. Is that feasible?
Well, I think it depends where you are in the state of the season, Jeff. Obviously, being in training camp, we're still – whatever, 3 weeks away from the opener yesterday, it gave teams some flexibility. You know, if this happened on a Thursday in October, you probably don't have that flexibility, and you do have to continue to practice, but maybe tweak practice in some ways. I do think it was interesting how teams across the league that were struck with this, and it was either 10 or 11 teams, how they handled it. You mentioned the Vikings. Buffalo also practiced without the guys who tested positive, and that's what the Browns wound up doing. They wound up having a light workout in the afternoon, and the people that tested positive were not on site. But it took the Browns a while to get to that decision, and I'm not saying that's wrong. I like the fact that the Browns were really cautious about it. They've been that way, I think, throughout the pandemic, where they're overly cautious. If you look at the building, all the different changes they've made to keep social distancing, and you see the locker room now is in two different spots, and the weight room is in the field house. I mean, the Browns did not just assume that they were going to be false positives, right? They shut down the building. They started the deep cleansing, the deep cleaning process and protocols in the building. They met virtually. So I appreciate that. It turns out they're false positives, and they bring people back in the building. But it is interesting how it seemed like at least the Bills and the Vikings said, you know, hey, we're just going to go ahead. These guys aren't going to be here. The Bears postponed practice to the afternoon, and the Browns kind of shut it down before deciding to reopen once they had what they felt was confirmation of the false positives.
Scott, has the NFL announced anything they're going to do to try to prevent this from happening again, or is this just now – insert shoulder shrug emoji.
No, I think there's two things. I think, one, you work with the lab and say, hey, how can we avoid this, right? The head of the lab came out this morning and said, you know, it's an isolated contamination of the, whatever, pre-test process, and that's why it affected so many of the tests. So you hope that this happens once, and then the laboratory is able to figure out what happened and what went wrong and not let it happen again. And then the second area is, how do you get the negative test, right? Let's assume they're false positives. How do you then get quicker negative results that you can trust? So if this happens on a Saturday or Sunday during the season, it doesn't affect teams, right? You're not playing without your quarterback. Josh Allen reportedly was one of the guys that couldn't practice in Buffalo. And I think the league has started that process and will try to put in place, you know, testing protocols where if it seems like something isn't right and maybe there's a spike in the positive test, that they, okay, let's test again. And if we feel comfortable that the original was a false positive, that doesn't sideline a player or players for the game. But I will say that, you know, the key is you don't want guys who tested positive around the rest of the team and around opponents. So I think having false positives or having, I think you want to be overly cautious. And if you have a few false positives, that's not the worst thing in the world. It's better than a guy going undetected and infecting his teammates and opponents, and then you get run the risk of having to shut the league down. False positives don't shut the league down. It's just an inconvenience, and it can be a big inconvenience or it can be a small inconvenience.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. The latest with Mack Wilson does not appear. He's getting a second opinion still from James Edwards. That's never good. But there's some rumblings that he might not be out for the year. Scott, that would be great news. But if he's out for a significant amount of time, that still doesn't help the Browns very much.
Exactly. I think we're still up in the air with Mack. You know, I don't know if I feel extremely optimistic that he'll play again this year, maybe 50-50. And then how long does he miss? You know, it seems unrealistic to think he'll be back, you know, in the first quarter, maybe even first half of the season. So let's just assume he missed Mack for the first eight games. What do you do at linebacker? I mean, we've talked about linebacker a bunch, even with Mack, you know, and it's one of those areas where, you know, Mack thought he was going to have a huge year, and Mack showed potential as a rookie. But, you know, he's not a Pro Bowl player. At least he wasn't last year. But he might have been the best Browns' best linebacker, right? So I think that just shows you where the position group is as a whole. And I'm not sure what the solutions are. You need B.J. Goodson to play better than he ever has. You need him to be able to stay on the field in passing downs, which he really hasn't done much in his career. And, yeah, he's off to a nice start in training camp. I feel like he's energized by the opportunity that he has to be an every-down player with the Browns. We need to see that translate to the actual regular season. You hope Jacob Phillips, the rookie out of LSU, can figure it out in a hurry and make an impact. You hope Sione Takitaki is way better than he was as a rookie. But that's a lot of hoping, right?
Yeah.
They signed Malcolm Smith, but he hasn't been a starter recently. You know, it feels like a depth hire. There's a report that Nigel Bradham has been cut by the Saints. You know, he's been a starter the last 6 years in this league. Do you go out and try to bring him in and say, okay, he gives us some experience. He adds some more depth. Especially if you don't think Mack's going to be back, that seems like something I would investigate if I were Andrew Berry.
Scott, are they looking around anywhere else on this team to get some depth due to the injuries of, you know, lacerated liver, which sounds awful? Is there anything else that's like down the pipe to kind of help out the secondary?
Well, you know, I think there is some good news on Kevin Johnson. The fact that he was released from the hospital early or quickly is expected to be back in the facility within the next couple of days. Now, you know, nobody has a great gauge on lacerated liver. Is that 2 weeks? Is it 2 months? I think there's some reason to believe that it won't be super long for Kevin Johnson, which would be a huge break because there's not a definitive backup plan at nickelback, right? Terrence Mitchell is a good player, but he's spent most of his time on the outside. You know, Denzel and Greedy are outside corners. They've been playing MJ Stewart Jr. there, who's a former second-round pick, but the Bucs gave up on him after 2 years. So having Kevin Johnson back would be huge. I think if he's not, you definitely have to keep your eyes open to bring in, to try to look for a slot corner somewhere, whether it's trade, whether it's waiver wire, whether you wait till the final cuts in September. And then the other position group is O-line. You know, now if J.C. Treader comes back and is ready to go week one, which we don't know yet, following that knee surgery, then you feel better about the line. But right now you got Nick Harris, the rookie at center. You got Jedrick Wills, the rookie at left tackle. You know, Jack Conklin has kind of been hit or miss the last couple of days of practice. You know, he was off Thursday, and they said it was a scheduled day of rest, and then he was splitting time with Chris Hubbard on Saturday when we were out there. So, you know, they have some guys. They have Chris Hubbard. They have Kendall Lamb. I don't think they have a whole lot of depth at center behind, you know, they got Nick Harris for J.C. Treader, but if Treader's not back, you have Nick Harris. So I could see Barry maybe trying to add another veteran center depending on how it looks with J.C. Treader's return.
Scott Petrak is joining us. You mentioned Jacob Phillips, and I don't want to get into Jacob, but I think you're right. That guy's got to step up and be more than you'd really think a rookie would have to be coming right out of the chute, but we'll see. One thing I wanted to mention to you. Last year there was so much hype, Scott, about the Browns and whether they bought into it or whatever. There was just plenty of hype. Dan Hansis writes for NFL.com, and Dan's been on our show before. He's a good guy. And he put out his latest power rankings. And I always try and look at such things. You know, I think they're kind of interesting. And I'm scrolling down, and I'm, okay, Browns aren't in the top 7. I get that. Oh, wait a minute, Browns aren't in the top 10. Wait a minute, not in the top 12. Steelers are 12th. Not in the top 15. There's the Patriots at 15. Not 17 or 18. He has the Browns ranked 19th in his power rankings. And now last year I didn't buy the hype. I didn't think they were as good as everybody thought they were. But I don't think they're as low as people are putting them in all their preseason talk right now. And I know a lot of it has to do with the defense and some questions there. Except for this. I kind of like the front four. I kind of like the backfield. The linebackers, yeah. But the way the NFL is played today, it's, you know, the back four and the front four, right? And I love the offense. I'm surprised that so many people are downplaying the Browns this season.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Jeff. I really do. 19 feels low to me. It's, you know, I would probably put them closer to, you know, I'd probably closer to 15 if I'm just ranking where I think they're going to finish. Now, if you're talking about talent on the roster, then I think you can make an argument the Browns are in the top 10, top 8, because I do think there's significant talent on this roster. But when you look at big picture, new coach, I've never been a head coach before, new staff, no offseason, no preseason, rookie left tackle, quarterback struggled last year, trying to learn this system, tough division, Ravens, Steelers.
Jeez.
You know, I think there's
thanks,
reasons
Scott.
To think that. Right. I mean, I think there's reasons not to think that the Browns are automatic to go to the playoffs this year. I think they should contend for the playoffs. I think they have that kind of talent. But your point is well taken, Jeff. I think as a roster, they're better than 19. And I do think they've learned from last season. And you mentioned the hype, and Olivier Vernon, we talked to him last week, and he mentioned it. And the team wasn't mature enough. It wasn't disciplined enough to handle all the hype and all the expectations. And you would hope that a year more experience, a new, smarter coaching staff, and adding veterans, you know, whether it's Andrew Sendejo, B.J. Goodson, right? They've added some veterans across the roster. Mm-hmm. You would hope Jack Conklin, Case Keenum, that you would hope would help the maturity level and let the team take another step. So I think it's fair to put the expectation on this team that it should be competing for a playoff spot when we get to December, no matter all the obstacles in its way and no matter that it's in a tough division.
I see a new column on brownzone.com. All of those reasons you just said why people are poo-pooing the Browns, explaining each one. There, go ahead. You can get after that.
Thanks, Jeff.
There you go,
Scott,
see?
Yeah, so we're just here to help, man.
Yeah, we help you waste time, and we give you a column every so often.
Scott, thank you, my friend.
All right, thanks, folks.
See you, man.
Scott Petrak joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.